all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6300. Our direct line, same area code, is 530-776-5185 and 876-9916. I'd like to personally invite each and every one of you to my show page with bbsradio.com. As you all are aware of, as I have a wealth of information about our weekly guest on this show. I would like to really highly recommend to explore, take your time as you're exploring the website. You're going to find a wealth of information that you personally will find very empowering on your own personal journey. For those in Pound Talk, for your convenience, on our banner we have not only our show guest's name, but also a website. We will be posting our call-in numbers and periodically the website link for your convenience. Before we get started for this tonight's show, as many of you may be aware of, my mother has been extremely ill, and so I tonight would like to dedicate this show to my mother, Leilani Monroe. I want to thank my mother for her great wisdom and teachings to stand firm in always speaking the truth, a life embracing all peoples of the world worldwide, to show me that I was unlimited in every way possible in my own life. Thank you, Mother, for teaching me the true values of life and to be the voice of my heart. In honor of you, Mother, I am so honored to be your daughter. Thank you, Mom. On that note, I would like to share a bit of information about our show guest for this evening. His name is Matthew B. James, an MA, PhD, and a president. He is one of the most highly sought-after trainers and educators in the world today. He is the president of the Empowerment Partnership, the leader in neuro-linguistic programming in Hinatsis education. Matthew began his studies at a very early age through his role as president of the American Pacific University and president and master trainer of his training and seminar division, the Empowerment Partnership, formerly Advanced Neurodynamics. Matthew is personally responsible for bringing thousands of students closer to fulfilling their dreams. Each year, he teaches the life-altering techniques of NLP, time empowerment, and the ancient shamanic Hawaiian spiritual systems of Huna throughout the United States, Canada, Europe, and Asia. Let's all please give Matthew a warm welcome to the show. Aloha, Matthew.
Aloha. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
It is truly an honor to have you, especially bringing home to all the listeners.
Well, thank you.
I understand that you have done extensive studies, so if you would share a little bit more with all the listeners tonight about all the studies and the individuals that you have initially studied with.
Well, I began my studies at a very early age. I was very curious as to what my father was doing every morning in the bedroom, sitting up with these eye masks on and wrapped in a shawl. And my mother briefly explained to me that he was meditating. And at the age of 5, I was very curious as to what that was and convinced my mother to teach me about meditation. And that kind of began the journey. And I've been very fortunate in that not only growing up in the islands of Hawaii, but that my father was taught by an individual named Papa Bray, who lived in Kailua Kona, and he was the son of a fairly well-known kahuna named Daddy Bray, and the lineage that he had and carried that was taught to him by his father was taught to my father, and which was in turn taught to me. And since about my mid-20s, I've been teaching Huna in Kona and around the planet in Europe, Asia, North America, and really helping to assist people in understanding that they are empowered as individuals and that they have inside them everything that they need to truly become fulfilled and create what they want in their life. And that's, I think, really one of the fundamental teachings of Huna.
Absolutely. And I'd like to share with everyone for this evening is our title of our show tonight is, and you guys will all love this. I know I did. And I said, this is the show I've got to really do. Do you guys all think Cupid is Hawaiian? Because, Matthew, since you've been on the islands and you've spent so much time with the people there, love is the root of the people on the islands. Is that not correct?
Oh, of course. And in fact, Daddy Bray specifically said, in order to progress down a spiritual path, one must practice the secret teaching of aloha, of true love and connection not only with yourself, with others, because that's where true fulfillment comes from. So you're right, the aloha spirit is a part of the culture here and something that the people, when they fully embrace it, they live it. They experience it in every aspect of their life.
You bet. You know, it was really a challenge for me when I came here to the mainland because, you know, coming from the islands, that is who we are. It's a natural state of beingness for us. And it doesn't matter what life has thrown at me, I can't help myself but to love and to show that warmth.
That's very true. And, you know, I think that In not only working with individuals, in working with couples, it's really about how do you cultivate that love and that caring and keep that going from the, not only from the moment that you meet, but all the way until the end, where the two people feel that between each other. And, you know, I guess next weekend is Valentine's Day. And so that's a theme for a lot of people. And how do I cultivate that and get that really to have that true sense of aloha within my relationship.
Yes, and, you know, it doesn't just stop in a personal man-woman relationship. It's relationship in all things. And so give us further insight, Matthew, if you would. How do we go about incorporating that true expression of love in everything that we do and say and speak?
Well, first of all, I always love to begin by saying "Aohe pau kuike kohalau," which means that think not that all wisdom is in your school. And this was on a plaque above one of the halau or schools that I studied in. And my kumu, my teacher, said to me that saying, think not that all wisdom is in your school, is for the teacher and for the student. And that is to remember that what I'm sharing is just a way of thinking. It's not about making one thing right or another thing wrong. This is just one path that if it resonates with you, that it can truly help you to become empowered as an individual. Having said that, I think there's a really simple answer to your question, and that is that in Western thinking, we pride intelligence or the thought process in our minds as being supreme. In the ancient culture here in the islands, your na'au, your center, your gut, and your heart, the person who could listen to their na'au, their center, was considered to be the more intelligent person, because they were able to hear at the deepest level of who they are, which is where the connection to higher self, to higher consciousness comes through. And I think in Western thinking, we tend to overthink things, and really to find our path, to find a state of aloha, we have to begin to listen to our hearts a little bit more. And that is what truly brings that into a relationship.
Oh, God. I'm so excited. Oh, can you feel me hugging you, Matthew? It is
Yes. So
nice. And, you know, it's really interesting because majority of all the listeners of this show hear me always say, speak, hear, listen, whatever it is, speak with the voice of your heart.
Mm-hmm. And here's a really simple thing that your listeners can do. I always, when I go on radio shows, I always get asked for tips, okay? That's really great information. Well, how do we begin to do that? And here's a really simple way. In Western thinking, in Western culture, and even the way I was brought up, because, you know, I talk about Western culture as if it's not a part of who I am. It is. Growing up here in the islands, we have a lot of Western culture, and the goal isn't to go back to ancient times. It's how do we bring that wisdom and put it to use while living in our society right now? And here's a simple way of doing it. In Western culture, we answer the instant the person has completed their sentence. Someone's talking, and you're already talking. And that is really all from the mind. In ancient times here, you would take a full breath before answering. So if someone asked you a question, you would breathe in, and you would hanu, you would breathe. Then you would breathe in and respond. And what that does is it gives time for your conscious mind and your unihipili, your unconscious or subconscious mind, to connect. And that brings in the na'au, that brings in the heart. And then you're answering from the whole self, not just from the mind.
Yes. So what I'm hearing you say is that we really need to, it's important for us to learn to come out of the minds, because most of us operate from the mind. Even though we think we may be operating from the heart, it's really coming from the mind. And we have to become more conscious of our thinking and how we...
Oh, yeah, that's definitely one way to do it, to be conscious of what it is you're about to say. And the only way to do that is to take a moment to think about what you're going to say before you say it.
Yes. Yes. See, and it's so natural for me a lot of times. And it's so interesting because when I came here to the mainland, you know, I had a lot of that aloha spirit, and where, you know, as you know, we do a lot of things from our heart. We give freely of ourselves to people. We're very much into dance and song, and we gather together and celebrate just life. And so what I had found when I came here, and still today a lot of times, you know, I would notice that people in general would be standoffish, or they'd make a comment is, you're not real. You must be up to something because you can't be that nice. You can't be coming from your heart all the time. And it's really an easy thing to do.
I know. I've had people ask me, I just got done teaching in Toronto, and I had a wonderful group of people up in Toronto, Ontario. And from the beginning of the workshop all the way till the end, I'm sitting there just happy, enjoying it. And someone, I think, came up to me in that workshop and said, you can't really be this happy. Are you, like, what are you putting in your coffee every morning, you know? And I laughed, and I said, well, I haven't been drinking coffee, number one, and number two, when you truly practice aloha, when you practice the things that I have learned that are a part of my lineage that I teach, the teachings say that you need to let go of those black bags. You need to, you know, one of the techniques that I teach, and it was the basis of my research for my PhD in psychology, was Ho'oponopono, and that's the Hawaiian forgiveness process.
Yeah.
How do you, you can't just teach someone how to do Ho'oponopono. You have to practice it. My grandfather, who didn't study any of this, always said to me, if you're going to tell someone to do something, if you're going to give someone a piece of advice, remember that your ears are the closest to your mouth. You're the first person that should be listening, and you shouldn't tell someone to do something unless you've done it yourself or plan on doing it. And so I practice what I teach, and that's why I think that culture that we have here in the islands of Aloha is really, truly practicing what you teach, practicing what you say, and living it, not just talking about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's put it all together with our own personal love relationships. Where do we get all confused or mixed up within a love relationship?
Now, we're talking specifically about a relationship here. And in the ancient culture, there were no, you know, there's no Hawaiian words that were vulgar. There was no swear words. And according to my teacher, Uncle George Naope, he said that there was nothing seen as taboo or wrong in relationships. So what I'm about to say, again, doesn't make other relationships right or wrong. I'm just talking about the Western concept of relationships, and that is that when two people come together and they love each other, there's this initial spark, there's this initial fire that's burning that I think we've all felt. And what we do in Western thinking is we make a commitment, but the commitment is only on the physical level. We say, I'm going to be faithful to you, and that faithfulness is a physical commitment. But then we make it okay to go look at other people and to have emotions with other people and to let our eyes wander. It's okay to look, but don't touch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a problem with that. In psychology, we've proven that the mind and body are connected, that we went for a long time thinking that they weren't, but we've proven that they are connected. And most teachers talk about this from a health perspective. Well, let's apply the mind-body connection to a relationship. If the mind and body are connected, if they are one, then a commitment in a relationship needs to be of the mind and body. In fact, who would say it needs to be of the spirit, mind, and body? And that faithful or being faithful in the relationship needs to be on all levels, not just a physical commitment. And so this look but don't touch rule, what it does is it allows the mind to wander, which it's only a matter of time before the body wanders. And I think that we see that in divorce rates and in I was talking with someone and they said 70% of all married men have visited an online porn site.
Yes.
Why are we doing that? We're doing that because we've made it okay for the mind to wander because we believed for so long they weren't connected. They are.
You bet they are. And see, this is just a knowing that I've always had.
Sure, we have that in the islands. It's kind of like every time I get up and I teach a class, I have to explain things that I grew up just, you knew that. The mind and body are connected. What you see outside yourself is a reflection of what's inside. In Western thinking, we moved so far away from that it needs to be taught. It needs to be reintroduced into the thinking.
Absolutely. Well, you know, some of my students, I've actually even, you know, when I teach, a lot of times is you're stepping out of that sacredness of your spiritual beingness.
And that's true. Yep.
Right? Yes.
I agree with that. That's absolutely true.
So let's go back and dive a little bit further into Ho'oponopono, because you had said earlier about forgiveness. Now, you know, when I was on my quest of understanding what it was to forgive, you know, I kept feeling like, well, I thought I did that, forgave this individual, so where am I missing and my understanding of the whole process of forgiving? But what I came to realize, it was forgiveness of self that I had been missing. Can you share your thoughts on that as well?
Of course. You know, in ancient times here in the culture, forgiveness wasn't an option. It was required, because you only hurt one person by holding on to unforgiveness, and that is, you hurt yourself. And the person who taught Ho'oponopono to my father, her name was Morna Simeona, and she made it her life's mission to go out there and teach Ho'oponopono, and she taught it to the United Nations, she taught it to NATO. I can't really vouch if they're still using it. I'm not really sure. I don't think they are. They probably should be, because she was a very wise woman, and she said that by practicing this on a regular basis, you not only learn how to forgive others, you learn how to forgive yourself. And it's really, if you do one, the other one's going to come through. And so a lot of times when I have someone ask me, what about self? What about forgiving yourself?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is quite simple. If you learn how to practice Ho'oponopono with others, that will in turn assist you in forgiving yourself. And that was really the basis of what she taught, and that is that how do you learn how to forgive transgressors or people that have wronged you, and then bring that back to yourself?
Mm-hmm. Because, I've also noticed, you know, just through observation, a lot of times where we're not able to do the forgiveness part is because we have placed some kind of guilt and judgment upon the situation at hand, or whatever the case may be. We put that self-blame on ourselves instead of saying, okay, let me look at this, step back and observe and see, and taking responsibility along with the accountability of the participation of the whole. And I also
I apologize.
Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
No. You brought up a great point, and that is the difference between fault and blame and responsibility. And there's a misconception that being at cause in your life, taking responsibility, there's a misconception that that implies fault or blame.
Yes.
Becoming in control of your life, moving to cause in your life, getting to that point where you say, what is the lesson that I need to learn here? You realize it's not about fault or blame. It's about really going, there's only one person at the end of the day that is staring back in the mirror, and that's me. And that's there's you, and that's it. And in every relationship, it's up to you how you experience it. Not fault or blame. There are bad things that happen. There are good things that happen. And each person has a choice as to how they react to it. That's being responsible.
Ooh, I love it. For all those that have tuned in, our guest for this evening is Matthew B. James. Our title for the show tonight, Do You Think Cupid is Hawaiian? We are talking about not only a love relationship, but the relationship that we have with all things that are connected to each and every one of us, indirectly or directly. I'd like to take this opportunity to invite our caller, Dori, from Pennsylvania, to the show. Aloha, Dori. Dora?
It's Dori. And hello. Hi, how are you?
I am great.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad that you are. I am I'm very impressed of what he's saying, because many years, I mean, I'm in a very happy relationship. And so it's so perfect that you have it in this time of week where Valentine's Day is just around the corner. I have a question for the gentleman that you have as your guest. Does he truly in fact saying that when you forgive yourself and love yourself, you're able to open up and receive love from others? And also, would he agree that sometimes people that have relationships and perceive to fall in love, sometimes let their emotions override their better judgment and vice versa? And I had a little saying about that. Sometimes I call it stinking thinking, because people just have a tendency to run into things without actually looking at themselves first. Am I getting the conception of everything that he's explaining through his teaching?
I think what you just said is absolutely accurate. In fact, in ancient times, the word pono, because we've talked about ho'oponopono, the word pono means to be right, but not as in I'm right, you're wrong. It means as in you're right within your skin. You are right with yourself, or right with another person.
Right.
And in ancient times, you wouldn't do anything unless you were pono. And pono implies mind, body, spirit is right with what you're about to do. And I think you are right. A lot of people jump into a relationship without having fully thought it through.
And you know, you want to know something? Like, I mean, I've been married to my husband wonderfully for 7 going on 8 years now. And I only knew him for 3 months because at the time that I met him prior to that, I finally released and let myself forgive myself for the things that I've done and so on and so forth, without going into a religious aspect. But it was merely taking a simple step on learning to love myself. And it just, within 12 weeks, we were married, and we're married now, excuse me, going on 8 years. So with that in mind, I think that's a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, I'm definitely going to, if you could, you know, post up in the room what your your station, rather, what books you have in mind and whether I can actually read more to pass it on to others that I know that are always looking for love. And sometimes I always say they're looking for love in the wrong places. Oh, God, that's a song, right?
I think that's a song.
Yes, it is.
You know, let's not go there with that one. But I am so happy to actually talk to somebody that actually believes the same things that I do about love, because love is such a simple process. And yet, for many, it's such a difficult thing to achieve, you know, even amongst the friends and family, and as well as, like, your true mate, so be it. And I want to thank you very much for confirming that for me. I'm like, yay!
Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. That's awesome. I mean, I can actually feel like a brotherhood, sisterhood connection here with you guys, because it's, like, so cool to actually relate. Well, you do also agree that maybe that thinking could be part of what people, like, again, obviously, the, you know, your emotions overriding your better judgment. People just have to think too much, and they get a headache over it, and it's like, I want to find my true love. I want to find my soulmate. I want to find the one I love with. And it is so awesome to have someone like you direct them in a simple process like that. And I want to thank you once more.
Thank you.
With that,
I really do. I would agree that anything's possible, that there are people that I have met that overthink things and then don't trust the emotions, and then there are people that they go right forward all based on their emotions and they don't really put enough thought process into it. And to me, it's about finding that connection between your thoughts, your emotions, the energy, which is truly the spiritual aspect of who you are, and allowing all of that to flow forward in a way that is pono.
I think whoever's listening to this program tonight, I think we just touched the serious happy button there, buddy. So I can tell you, you put a lot of people in the comfort zone by saying that. And, you know, I'm very happy to have gotten the chance to relate this and have your confirmation on it. Well, in that mind, I'll let you go in case you've got another caller coming in. But that was the only questions I had, and I, again, want to thank you. It's awesome and an honor to meet you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Dori. Have a great night, and God bless.
Oh, and have a wonderful Valentine's Day to you and yours.
And to you and yours as well. Thank you, thank you. And,
well,
you know, it's really interesting, Matthew, because I really want to thank Dori for calling in. Great questions, by the way. You know, it's really interesting, Matthew, because that's another key element is getting to the root of our emotions and our mental processing, because a lot of times what we find, you know, even with myself and also through my own observation, is a lot of times we're bringing a lot of our past experiences, even our childhood experiences, into where we're at today in our adult lives, which creates a lot of chaotic or challenges in our interactions with others, with our relationships, with ourselves, with our money, with our health. Let's talk about that a little bit, if you would, Matthew.
Well, I think that people, they tend to carry inside them the things that in ancient times people would have released or let go of. And Papa Bray referred to that as the black bags that we carry. He said that in ancient times, if a negative emotion came up in the middle of the day, that it was known that that was a good thing. That meant that you had the tools, the techniques, and you were ready to release it. Well, in modern thinking, in Western thinking, and, you know, I have a PhD in psychology, so I'm saying this not in a mean way. I'm saying this in literally knowing what the textbooks and what the history of psychology says, and that is that for a long time, psychology believed that that unconscious aspect of who we are, when that negative emotion came up, that that was something that was wrong. And it's not about being wrong. It's that we have the ability to let go of this baggage. And you're right, when someone carries that with them, they bring that into their relationship. And then when something happens, all the baggage comes up. And we've all had times where this has occurred in our lives because something occurs outside of us in our relationship, and our reaction to it is out of proportion to what happened. A spoon hits the ground, and instead of just going, oops, a spoon dropped, all of a sudden you're in full-blown anger or sadness. And it's not because of that event. It's because we're carrying inside us these things that we should just let go of. And so Huna teaches that to become Ponno, you have to be willing to let these things go. And a really simple way to do it is to take someone that you trust, take someone that you love, and just allow a moment to let it all out. And in psychology, we call it emotional disclosure. And there's evidence that given the space and given the opportunity, when a person lets it out, when they verbalize it, when they allow that release to occur in a safe space, you reduce the negative effect, you reduce the negative feelings. And who better to do that with than with the person that loves you the most? And so one of the advice that I give to couples is to create that space, allow each person to just vent, knowing that it's not about the other person, it's about the release. And when the person is done, notice how good that feels, and then let that go, and then create the space to make that love or connection flow forward.
Yes. So how does those emotions and affect our money, our relationships with our families and with our friends?
Well, one of the ways that it does is that we have a limited amount of conscious understanding of what's going on outside us. And let me just give you a really simple explanation, because the universe is a simple place that we've made to become very complicated. There's a lot going on every second, and we only see a very small portion of that. It's called perception is projection, and that is that with all of the information going by, we're just picking up a very small piece of it. If you're angry, that shades or that colors the energy as it comes into the neurology or the nervous system. The simple example that I give to my students is, have you ever woken up in a bad mood? Everyone goes, yes. And I go, okay, great. Does the world look different in comparison to the days that you wake up in a good mood? And they said, yes. And I go, great. The world didn't change. It's because of your energy or because of your emotion. You see, hear, and feel your reality in a different way. And so people in this economy, people within a relationship that are really focusing in on the fear, they will see the world in a different light than people that are focusing in on something other than the fear. And so the idea is to really come from a place of calm-centered balance when looking at how things are going in the relationship as well as in the economy.
Yes. You bet. Absolutely. Well, I know that you're actually going to be having a seminar in San Diego. I'd like for you to share the information with all the listeners this evening, if you would.
Oh, of course. You said San Diego, and all of a sudden I went, oh, that's right. That's where I'm going next. I'm going to be in San Diego. I'm very lucky to be going down to San Diego. It's a beautiful place. And we do a lot of live seminars and trainings, and we also have many of our seminars and trainings recorded, as well as a lot of articles and product that we have all on our website at huna.com, H-U-N-A.com. And the upcoming event in San Diego is really focused in on prosperity and abundance. With the economy the way that it is, a lot of our students and a lot of the people that have been to our workshops basically emailed in and called in and said, you got to do some trainings really about how to let go of the baggage to bring in prosperity and abundance. And that's really the focus of the workshop in San Diego.
So when you're saying the baggage is all the emotional things that we haven't necessarily taken a look at, and our relationship with our money and our health, and obviously our relationships with others as well, right?
That's exactly it. That's the focus of the workshop. And what Huna teaches is that in any situation, different people are going to see the situation as being different. So in other words, if you're taking the economy, for example, I've met people that go, this is a fabulous time to make money, and I've met people that are saying this is the worst time they've ever been through. And the simple fact of the matter is that neither of them are right and neither of them are wrong. The same information that's going by people that are making the best of our current situation and the people that are making the worst of our current situation is going by everyone. And the difference between the person that's finding abundance and the person that is finding scarcity really boils down to what emotions and how are you thinking? What beliefs do you hold in your mind? So the workshop is really geared around how to truly change those beliefs, let go of the negative emotions, and focus in on what it is that you want to create to open up the path towards abundance.
And your seminar is in February, is that correct?
Yes, it is. It's not Valentine's Day weekend, but the weekend after.
Okay. I'd like to remind all our listeners this evening on my show page with BBS Radio, I have posted Matthew's seminar dates and what you can expect from this class. For your convenience, I'd like to encourage each and every one of you to take a real deep look at that, because coming from Hawaii, many of you actually know me. I've communicated with many of you, and it's always been very consistent. Many of you said to me, how are you able to give up so much energy, so much love to all of us? And my desire is that each of you are able to truly embrace that love that lies within you. You already have all those things within yourselves. And so I feel that this seminar will be very empowering for all of you. So take a good close look at that. And what are some of the other things that you're offering as well, Matthew?
Well, obviously one of the things that I teach that is, I would say, one of the cornerstones of creating a foundation in your life is how to rethink forgiveness. How do you begin to change your relationship with others? And this is a really simple tip, especially with Valentine's Day coming up in a few days, that you can begin to practice in your relationship. In Western thinking, we tend to use the phrase, "I'm sorry." And "I'm sorry," you can't put that into Hawaiian words. There's no phrase or word for sorry, because when you say "I'm sorry," what you're doing is you are stating how you are. In other words, you're describing a state of being. It doesn't ask for a response. And in fact, if you try on in your mind, think of your partner, your loved one, or someone that you deeply care about if you're not in a relationship. And imagine saying to them, "I'm sorry." When you try that on, it doesn't ask for a response. There's no connection. In ancient times, there was no way to say "I'm sorry," because what you said was, you said, "E kala mai iau," which means, "Please forgive me." And then you would say, "And I forgive you too." Now, when you try that on in your mind, what that does is that creates a connection and asks for a response. It puts the ball in the other person's hand and says, "Okay, now bring that back to me." And so what I encourage people to do, this is a really simple thing, is to give up saying "I'm sorry" and to truly sit down with the person and say, "You know, please forgive me for what I did. I forgive you." Even if there's nothing to forgive, what it does is it creates a connection and gets that energy going and allows the person to bring in the spirit of Ho'oponopono.
Ooh, I love it. I got to come home, Matthew. I surely do. I'd like to give out those seminar dates, if I may, for San Diego. And it's February the 21st through the 22nd, and that is in San Diego. And the seminar is on HUNA Prosperity Weekend, Become a Manifestation Magnet with Money, Relationships, and Health. Some of the questions you may want to keep in mind: Is it time now to really think how things are affecting you and your feelings, and how you have your feelings and your relationship with yourself, with your family, with your money, all of those things? Because many of you are very familiar that I've always told you all, you are indeed the empowerment. It's time to claim your greatness and let go of being small. We're getting close to the end of our show, Matthew, so I'd like to give you this opportunity to share more of your thoughts, of your teachings, and what you have to offer to all of us.
Thank you. I really believe that we've overcomplicated how things are in our lives. I think that when it boils down to what truly brings fulfillment, the answer is happiness. I think what people are seeking is to be happy in their relationship, to be happy in their career, to be happy with their health and fitness. And for too long, we have looked outside for someone else to fix it. We've looked for,
"Ooh, yes,
it's not my fault. It's if my partner would just make me happy." And in the job, you know, it's not my responsibility if my boss would just make me happy. And with health, I mean, it's not my fault if the government would just fix it. If someone else would just make me happy and healthy, give me that pill that allows me to lose weight while sitting on the couch eating bonbons and watching TV. And you know what? I tell people, there's no quick fix that someone else can give you. The only quick fix in your life is you. And it's a quick fix that if you practice every day of your life, you'll wake up and you'll realize you are responsible for your happiness. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, to be totally in control of your happiness without anyone else having to do anything. that's an empowerment that is true with the absolute nature of who you are. And that, I think, is really an important concept that people have lost.
Absolutely, Matthew. 100%. That is so incredibly true. You know, I miss a lot of course, I'm one of those individuals, I love to laugh. I love to smile. Anytime you see me, I always have a smile on my face. I love getting up in the morning, and before I open up my eyes, I lay there to feel me. And it's so refreshing to get up every morning feeling happy. Doesn't mean that I always stay in that state of beingness throughout my day. But that's how I start my day off. And then, like you said earlier, if I find myself in that situation, step back, take a deep breath, and just get tuned in tune with yourself, with your Creator, and letting go of everything else around you, and then continue moving forward again. It's so important for all of us to have song and dance in our lives, to come together in unity and share a bit, even just a small part of ourselves with each other. You know what that's like, being there at home.
That's true, and you know, Uncle George Naope, who the founder of the Merry Monarch Festival, I got to live with him for a summer, and he taught a lot of things to my father, and he said that Hawaii, we think it's a place, but Hawaii is actually in your heart, and so is Aloha, and you can take that with you. You can take that idea that you just expressed and realize that that's inside you, and that you can tap into that anywhere, anytime, any place.
That's right, absolutely. And you know, and I love sharing that part of myself with everyone around me. You know, it's easy for me to reach out and even tell people that I have not necessarily met yet, I love you, and mean it.
When it's coming from the heart, and that's it. Yep.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I'd like to share the website once again with all of you, and that is www.huna, spelled HUNA.com. It has been truly an honor to have you with us, Matthew. I would like to personally invite you once again onto the show. Keep in touch with us. Let us know what's going on and all the different seminars when you come here to the mainland. Also, I look forward to meeting you when I come home. I'll look you up.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I truly appreciate it, and I look forward to meeting you someday.
Wonderful. Excellent. So we want to say good night to you, Matthew. It's been truly an honor. I want to remind all our listeners tonight that you are indeed the empowerment. It's time for all of us to say no to being small and to live, breathe, and celebrate our greatness. It's time for all of us to say no to drama, to say no to judgments, to sit back and create self-blame of what we think might be wrong with us. You are perfect right here, right now. And share that part of yourselves with each other, with yourselves. Celebrate with every breath that you have in total love and respect for self and for everyone you come in contact with. On this note, I say good night to each and every one of you. God bless.
one is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because